Welcome to the audio ministry of Advance Church. You're about to go on an exciting journey into the Word of God with Advance Church and Pastor Bruce Clark. Be prepared to be informed and inspired as God reveals more of Himself to you through His Word. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Word. Give us hearts to hear and faith to receive the things shared today. Open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things out of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now, here's Pastor Bruce Clark.
Genesis chapter 2.
And the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet or suitable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the entrance of your word give it light. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Father, we thank you that it's because of your word we have more wisdom than our teachers. We thank you that because of your word, O God, this incorruptible seed, we, O God, can stand, and having done all, we can stand in this day with full assurance of hope that our souls are anchored in you and that our eternal destiny is fixed in Christ, so that no matter what happens in this life, Lord, right now, we are assured of victory because you gave it to us in your word. And so we pray today that, Lord, we would, as they did in the book of Ezra, tremble at your word. For your word is precious and your word is life. We thank you, O God, that it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. Let your word do what only your word can do. We pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight as I declare this precious, precious, priceless word of God. You have your Bible or your iPad or phone, whatever you do. Would you just grab it for a moment? And just hug it a little bit. Just hug that. Hug it. This word is precious, more desired than gold, more than silver, more than riches. This word is our life. And so, Father, we thank you as we prepare now to receive your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the secret to companionship. This is the last piece of our series on the soul. And guys, we're moving around too much. This is the last series on the soul. And we've talked about five pieces. Does anybody remember the first one is what? What was the first thing God gave Adam? Okay, so let me just tell you, that means you need to go back and listen to the word and rehearse it until it becomes yours. The word of God does not produce just by casual observation. The word produces by meditation. That's helping somebody right now. The word, it prospers through meditation. God told Joshua, if you meditate in this day and night, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So the first thing God gave Adam was an identity. The second thing God gave Adam was blessing. The third thing God gave Adam was what? capacity. The fourth thing God gave Adam was authority. The fifth thing God gave Adam was what? Choice. And today we see that God is giving Adam a companion. And each of these five things are sort of like, if you think of software and you buy it from the store and it comes out of the box a certain way. But after time, it can be reconfigured so that what the original design was, it no more is. And so, you know, sometimes you got viruses that affect it and stuff like that. Well, the same is true with the original design of man. God gave Adam these things. And then through sin and time and experiences, these things get corrupted. And we've got to go back to the original intent of God so that we can reclaim who we are in Christ, praise God, so that when viruses plague our souls, like unworthiness or longings for approval that are out of balance or lust of the flesh or lust of the eyes or the pride of life, when these things come to plague our souls, we have a ready word from God that the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit through which we can defeat the devil. And this word gives us faith so that we can resist the devil when these things start coming at us. Without the equipment of the word, then we find ourselves plagued with viruses, and we don't even know why we're feeling the way we're feeling. But the word of God gives us the victory in all of these things. And one area we need victory in is in companionship. Can I get the church to say amen? The last component of the soul that God gave Adam is companionship. Unlike the other components, God gave this to Adam in response to a problem. The other things God gave Adam, he gave him. But then God, after making all of creation, except for Eve, observed that something wasn't fully complete. In response to Adam's problem of being alone, God gave him Eve. It was clear that being alone was going to produce, for the sake of our discussion today, a virus for Adam's soul. So the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Now, this is not our topic today, but I want to just give you this because it just came out of the word for your reference point. What are three things to look for in a companion? If you go to that next slide, what are three things to look for in a companion? Watch this. God intervenes for Adam and he says, "I will make." Point number one, for what to look for in a companion, choose a companion that is being made by God. Oh man, everybody needs to hear this. Choose a companion that's being made by God. Can you see the hand of God in their lives? Are they cooperating with God or resisting him? You see, the real deal is, what is God doing in this person's life? If one cannot see the hand of God, I doubt that you ought to even think about being with them. Choose a companion that is being made by God. I will make him and help meet. God says, a help meet, one suitable. Second thing to look for in a companion, choose a companion that fits your unique personality and purpose. You see, sometimes personality is all we look for, and that's important. There's got to be chemistry, but there's also a sense of purpose. Are we going down the same path? Is this person suitable for what God has called me to do? You know, it's all right to say amen. You know, the power of an amen or a yes is that when something hits our spirit from God and we say amen to that or yes to that, we are in fact cooperating with what God is doing in our hearts by giving us that word. So just encourage you to not do it just for the sake of the preacher, but do it for your own good, that when you bear witness to something, give voice to it, because that strengthens your resolve to carry it out. So that's for the side. That's another sidebar. That one's for free. I'm not going to charge you for that. Choose a companion that's being made by God. Choose a companion that fits your unique personality and purpose. He made someone suitable. And then choose a person who will be an ally. That word help, one use of that word quite often in the scripture is the word ally. I will make a help, an ally. Someone who, when you look at their lives, you know they can go in the foxhole with you and fight. You know they can go in the foxhole with you and fight. I remember this was years ago. Well, let's see, Seth and I have been married. It'll be 22 years in December. Glory to God. Praise God. He sustained us. We dated for maybe a year and a half before that. And somewhere around the time where I started realizing this was the one for me, and I was able to get honest and vulnerable. Sisters, you wonder sometimes why a brother not vulnerable. He doesn't trust you yet. And so I was able to trust her. That's for free, too. I won't charge you. And so I was able to tell her of a fear I had. Now, no man likes to have a fear. And certainly no man likes to tell a woman that he has a fear. But it was already clear that God had made her. It was already clear that she fit my unique personality and purpose. And now the question was, would she be an ally? I didn't have this revelation then, but it turns out that's really what happened. And so we're sitting on the couch where she was staying, and we have the Word open, and we're reading the Word and praying. And in that moment of prayer and reading the Word, I just felt the Lord say, "You need to tell her this." I was like, "I don't want to tell her this. I handling this, God?" But for all of my life, I had this fear. It's a ridiculous fear. And all fear, genuinely, unless it's immediate danger, is generally rooted in stuff that really doesn't make much sense. Because if you think about it, most of the things you fear have never happened. But that's another story. And that one's for free. But as we're sitting there, I said to her, I said, I have this fear that I'm going to die prematurely. And I tell you, every single day of my life as a young man, I had to wrestle with that. I'm going to die prematurely. Oh, I better watch out where I'm going. It was wild. I mean, I don't know where it came from, but it was wild. So I said it to her in that moment. And this woman looked me in the eyes and said, "I will fight for that in your life." Oh, I got a little quickening on that one. And I tell you what, I don't know if we've talked about that since, other than me reminding her that she said those words to me. And I don't know, I can't tell you when that thought has ever been in my mind since that day. Really. Is that amazing? As an ally. She was an ally. So when you're looking for a mate, ask the question, can this person go in the foxhole with me and fight? Or will they run? God is our ally. Just quickly before I really want to get to something here. For the Lord, he is our help and our shield. Psalm 33 and 20. Psalm 70 and 5. Unto me, O God, thou art my help and deliverer. That word help is often used in the context of battle. So think about that. Can this person go to battle with me? Well, that's a sidebar. Today's topic is the secret to companionship. Since it's not good for man to be alone, then when a man is not alone, it's good. In other words, it's good to have someone. We all desire connection, companionship, cohabitation, unless we have the gift of the eunuch. When these things are missing, many feel incomplete. Being alone isn't good. After all, it was God who said, it's not good for man to be alone. And when God says something is not good, guess what? It's not good. So I thank God that he is not only interested in problems and identifying it, God is also interested in solutions. He's not like an analyst who never played the game or a church member who looks for problems and never addresses them. No, he offers solutions. And in the case of Adam's solitaire, as it were, God provides a solution. He says, I will make an help meet for him. Interestingly, Adam did not know he was alone, nor could he do anything about it. I mean, God makes him. He's never seen a woman. So he doesn't know what to see. He's just with God in the cool of the day. And God is now realizing, wait a minute, this is not good. Many of us go through life dealing with stuff we're not aware of and facing the challenge that if God does not intervene, we're helpless. It's like what Jesus did. God sent his son. We were stuck in our sin. We were helpless. We didn't even know we needed a savior, but God intervened. And when God intervenes, we get things turned around and our life changes. So we need him. Like Adam, before he realized it, we need him to intervene. And we need to begin to pray that prayer first before trying to come up with answers and solutions on our own. Father, intervene in my finances. Father, intervene in my marriage. Father, intervene in my job. Lord, intervene. So God says, I will make a helpmeet for him. Isn't it great that God chose to do it? I will. Isn't it great when God says, I will? When God makes up his mind, I'm going to do something for my child. I will make a helpmeet for him. I will do it. My God. God intervenes. If God doesn't intervene, we end up with viruses in our soul. And left unchecked, being alone would have been a virus to Adam's soul. Think about this for a moment. The male bird had the female bird. The rooster had the hen. The bull had the cow. Adam's watching all of this, and he's alone. After a while, after all the animals were named, and at the end of a long day's work in the garden, Adam sits on his porch and he looks. It's past the cool of the day. God is not visiting in the garden, as it were. He sees the rooster chasing the hen. What's going through his mind? No, it's not good that Adam is alone. At this point, Adam's thoughts are like those of a leper. There's something wrong with me, and I'm left out. Adam could have felt like a straggler to the animals he has authority over, always behind them as opposed to leading them. His internal emotions are raging like a wild donkey left alone. He's like a sparrow on a roof singing a siren song. No, it's not good. It's not good that Adam is alone. Being alone, unchecked, becomes a virus to the soul. The word alone comes from the Hebrew word bada, B-A-D-A-D, which means to separate or isolate. It's used four times in the scripture. And each instance, I believe, by prophetic revelation, gives us an insight on what attacks us when we feel alone. Leviticus 13:46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone without the camp, his habitation shall be. That's one instance. Second instance is Isaiah 14:31. Wail, O gate, cry out, O city, melt in fear, O Philistia, all of you, for smoke comes out of the north and there is no straggler, or the word alone, in his ranks. Hosea 8:9. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers alone. Psalm 102:7. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I believe that the Lord has allowed me to see that each of these four instances in the Word of God represent four viruses that attack us when we feel alone. Would anybody like to hear them? In Leviticus 13:46, the reference is to leprosy. This one is primarily for folks who are single. First virus is you feel plagued. You know, it's like it's as if you've heard your grandmother or your mother say, well, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you married yet? There's that feeling like if you're not married, you've got serious problems. That this virus cannot be addressed with just getting somebody to be with. One virus that plagues the soul is you're plagued. There's something wrong with you. You're sort of like a leper. Being single is a sort of second class position in life. It's a lie from the devil. We're going to address these viruses in a minute. The second virus is you're a straggler, like in Isaiah 14 and 31. The clock is ticking. You need to get married soon. You should have been married a long time ago. Or if you are married, why are you still grappling with the same stuff you all dealt with when you first got married? You're behind. Some people are dealing with that. Oh, the clock is ticking. I should have been married a long time ago. Plaguing the soul and making decisions out of a virus and not out of the Word of God. Hosea 8:9 said, I'm just going to say donkey because we got the little child in here, but the word says a wild donkey syndrome. I'm alone. It's not changing. So I might as well go for it. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Your volcanic emotions and boisterous feelings are out of control. Trying this method and that, going to this website and that, complaining about being single, complaining about your husband not listening and being a companion, complaining about your wife's cold shoulder and indifference, talking to friends and associates about connecting you. Please connect me with somebody. Responding easily to a man's voice or a woman's smile. Young and restless. Old and restless. Boys and girls going wild. It's the other thing that happens to some. Now, each of these viruses may not apply to you, but one of them at least does. In Australia, they've got this challenge with wild donkeys. And they say that they pose a significant threat to the natural environment. Watch this. They have been associated with increased erosion of soil and waterways, spreading of weeds, the trampling of native vegetation, consumption of native seedlings, leading to reduced biodiversity. I mean, this is Australia's land resource management. That's right. They are challenging the entire environment. These wild donkeys. And I think in our culture today, especially in the church, it is trying to get a handle of this wildness on the inside of people that causes them to think, I've got to take care of this single problem. The fourth virus is the lone sparrow syndrome. This is the opposite extreme of the wild donkey. You go inward. Constant state of reflection. Sitting on the rooftop chirping with no one responding. And not moving from the roof. Stuck. Don't want to talk about it. Don't want to hear about it. Ready for me right now to move on from this point. I will never get married. Or my husband or my wife will never change. A sullen sparrow singing siren song. These things plague the soul if we don't put them in check and we are alone. And they could be for married or single people. The question for you today, people of God, is which of these viruses are attacking your soul, causing your dysfunction? Are you feeling plagued? Do you feel like a straggler, always behind? Do you have a tendency to go wild and then realize, oh, God, forgive me, let me shut that down? Do you have a tendency to sing a siren song like a sparrow? They tell me that sparrows are communal, social birds. So a sparrow alone is a sparrow out of place. Is that you sometimes? Like Adam, you and I need God to intervene. I want to tell you something today. You and I need God to intervene. Adam could not solve his problem alone. You need God to intervene with an antivirus. The question is, what's God's antivirus? Here's what God does to Adam. Tells Adam, go to sleep. Go to sleep. God's antivirus for these things that plague your soul is for you and I to go to sleep. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for God to move, while God is making this mate, while God is making me, while he's taking out ribs and putting in ribs, putting stuff in me that I need, taking out stuff that I need, in the meantime, go to sleep. Sleep means to rest in God and choose now. Unlike Adam, God just said, you're going to sleep. God had not yet even, given him the opportunity to fail. He just put him to sleep. Unlike Adam, you and I have the choice. We can choose to go to sleep. And the Bible says this, watch this. In verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep. Now, last night it was kind of challenging. There was all kinds of stuff going on in the house. And then, you know, I was tossing and turning. And then I woke up and my wife was snoring a little bit. And I'm a light sleeper. Don't tell her I told you that, please, Lord. She's up. She won't mind. So I was tossing and turning. And I never got to a place of deep sleep. So it's by God's grace that we're here today with a smile. But that's how many of us are with this whole companionship thing. We never close the deal and say, God, I completely rest in you. And until we get to that place of rest, we're still dealing with those viruses. Rest. Even for married folk, some of the wild donkey syndrome, some of the silent song, some of the straggler, some of the plague, even in marriage. Time to go to sleep. Time to go to sleep. At some point, you have to realize, married folk, that you can't change that person. And there's only a certain percentage of them that will change. And so you've got to go to sleep and say, my husband is this. And then learn to navigate that. Because it's not changing. Now, the only thing that God requires us to change are those things that are in us that are contrary to his character. And when we find that, then our responsibility is to pray that God would help change that person and live a lifestyle before them the opposite of their character flaw. You see, we're supposed to be the witness in our homes of what the other person can be. But that's for free as well. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Listen, God's got to take that rib out of Adam. He's got to take it out. If Adam is alive and well and up, Adam would resist God. Who wants the rib taken out? You see, so God's endeavoring to take something out of you, but if you don't go to sleep, it won't happen. And so you resist him. I've got to get married. I've got to solve this problem. I've got to have a person. Something's wrong with me if I don't. Lord, you see I have these needs. Lord, you made me this way. Why'd you make me this way and not give me a husband? Why'd you make me not give me a mate? God, I'm tired of being alone. God, I'm tired of fighting. Go to sleep. And then God's putting some things in you. So we've got to learn, people of God, to go to sleep. And this is ongoing. So when the alone virus comes to attack the software of your soul, go to sleep. I had this dream when I'm almost done. I had this dream when I was a single man. And I had gotten to the point where I didn't think I was going to ever get married. And, I don't know why I thought that. I just thought that. And I had this dream one day that I was climbing, I was flying. I landed on top of this building. And when I got to the building, I looked over after I landed and was down. And I looked over. And there was this person. Not much longer after that, I went to a banquet, and there was Stephanie, who I hadn't seen for years. And God was showing me in that dream to rest in him. The secret to companionship God's way is to go to sleep so that God can make and form and shape you so that you get to the point that if you never get married, God is enough. Now, some of you, because of these viruses, you can go to the next slide. Some of you, because of these viruses, don't believe that it's possible. But that's a lie. You don't have to settle and come to the conclusion that you'll never get married. Don't do that. But get to the place where you sleep in God so that when these viruses attack your soul and they attack the soul, we have this truth. God is with us. My God. I'm going to just wrap this up. I want you to just hear this scripture. You've got to learn to rest in God. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Watch this. Verse chapter 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. All right. So marriage, go for it. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. There it is. So that's the reality. So what do we do? How do we respond to that? You're telling me that marriage is honorable, but you're telling me don't fornicate and don't have adultery. So what do I do? So he gives us the answer. Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness. Don't desire that stuff that somebody else has or that want what you don't have. Just rest in God. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he saith, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. That gets me excited right there. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And so when the viruses come to attack your soul, just begin to declare, I'm never alone. The Lord is my helper. I'm never alone. The Lord is my helper. Psalm 20 and 2 says, send the help. He sends the help from the sanctuary. Psalm 121 says, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Psalms 124 and 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord. The secret is go to sleep, and your weapon is the confession of your mouth. He will never leave me. I'm never alone. The Lord is my helper. Even in your marriage. Come on, you can be married and alone. Oh, yeah. All of us at some point, no marriage is perfect in here. All of us at some point have had some kind of challenge or some kind of struggle. And even in the context of your marriage, you can be alone. But in that place, those viruses try to plague your soul, you declare, I'm never alone. The Lord is my helper. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm never alone. The Lord is my helper. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Grass is always greener on the other side, they say. Married folk trying not to be married. Single folk trying to be married. Married folk not having sex. Single folks having sex. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. My God. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what things as you have. He says, I'll never leave you. And brothers and sisters, the real mark of the disciple is when one takes God's word as the final truth and authority in their lives and does that word. And what happens very often is we, because of the nature of the flesh, refuse to accept this truth as final because the viruses have plagued the soul so much that we feel like we've got to solve some problem without God. But the reality is, I will never leave thee. Book of Isaiah, God says, thy maker is thy husband. And if you continue to do what we talked about through this series and last week's word, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done. You will get to the place where as you do that, your will gets lost in God. And even though you have these longings because of the ready word of God on your lips, you're able to overcome at all times. Glory to God. We have been given the word. We have been given the spirit. We have been given the church. We have been given authority and power. We can live in victory in this area of our lives. I'm never alone. The Lord is my helper. The other night, one of the pianos at the house. And this one has all kinds of sounds. As all the musicians know that, you know, I like to tinker with music. And I love it. I love music. And so I'll tinker with the piano. And so the other day, they have all these settings, you know, samba, jazz, R&B, techno. And then one is pure energy. And it was late. It was a long day. I was tired. You ever, you know, get to that point where you're on the other side of tired, where you got a lot of energy? And that's where I was. And so I'm playing around a piano, and then I found the setting they should call pure energy. And I hit pure energy. And so I was playing that thing, and I was trying to get the kids going. Everybody was like, Dad, it's late. Dad, you are out of your mind. And I'm just having, I started doing exercises and running. Boom, shika, 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 boom.
My children said, "Dad, you need to go to bed." It's past your bedtime. I'm here today to tell somebody, it's past your bedtime. It's past your bedtime. It's past your bedtime. Go to sleep. Then do I put my trust.
We pray that you've been inspired by the message shared today and have become even more aware of the purpose God has for your life. You're always welcome to join our service. We'd love to see you on Sundays at the AFI Theater in downtown Silver Spring, 8633 Colesville Road, near the intersection of Georgia Avenue. To find out more about the amazing things God is doing through Advanced Church, please visit our website at www.advancedchurch.org. And remember, it's your time to advance.